Hey, what's going on, guys? Sean Mathis here with the Insurance Hustle, and I'm really excited about this episode. We've got Melissa Vanker of Farmers Insurance. She is our first special guest on the Insurance Hustle, and I couldn't be more excited and couldn't think of anybody better to bring to the show for you guys. Just a little bit about Melissa. She's been in the industry for 22 years, started out as a homeowner's insurance adjuster, did national catastrophic adjusting. She's also been a consultant for some of the top insurance agents and companies in the country, coached over 600 insurance agents across the country. And that was all before she started her insurance agency. And then she decided to go into agency and get on the sales side in March of this year. So she's still a brand new agent. And I first LinkedIn and saw some of her videos. Obviously, you guys know I'm connected to tens of thousands of insurance agents across the country. And it is actually very rare that I reach out to somebody that hasn't already reached out to me or that isn't part of my list or in one of my groups or been on one of my webinars or purchased a product. But me just reaching out to somebody. And so I watched Melissa, saw her videos and kind of paid attention to what she was doing on LinkedIn, switched over to Facebook, saw what she was doing there. And I was like, she is really onto something here. She's really got it going on. And that's really unique for somebody who is not in one of my programs to be really aggressive on social and just doing some awesome things. And so I reached out to her and I said, hey, what's going on? You know, what are you doing? Noticed you're on LinkedIn. I'd like to set up a conversation and just get to talk with you. And I would recommend you guys, if you see somebody that is, you know, doing things unique, that looks like they're doing big things, that they're hustling, I would highly encourage you, just reach out to those people and connect with them. You never know what could come of it. You know, a lot of people are willing to help and share if you would just reach out and ask. And so many people will sit on the sidelines and watch people like Melissa absolutely crush it and just wonder, what are they doing? When if you just reached out, they may just tell you what they're doing and help you out. And so that's kind of what, you know, what Insurance Hustle is all about. If you're not on our Facebook group, just search Insurance Hustle on Facebook. Join us. We've got nearly 4,000 agents there sharing ideas and strategies. We give tons of free content. And, you know, we bring all stars like Melissa to the table to share their journey and share what they're doing. So with that, thank you so much, Melissa, for taking time to be with us. I know that you're busy and you got a million other things that you could be doing, but you are here with us today. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So let's just get into it. I know that you've got some appointments this afternoon, and we had some technical difficulties getting started. But the topic today is the new agent hustle. And that's why I wanted to bring you on, is to really talk about life as a new agent. There's so many new agents out there that are looking for ways to get started. It is an absolute grind as a new agent. And thankfully, we're in a technologically advanced society now that starting an agency today is very different than it was before. And if I remember, I was a State Farm agent a time ago, and he started back before all of the internet and social media. So
yeah.
Guys that have been in the business 10 years and 20 years. Go ahead. Did we lose the audio there? Can you hear me?
We lost a little audio for a second.
Sorry about that.
The last question?
So we were just saying, you know, it's a very different day and age to start an insurance agency. And since you are brand new, what is it like for you as a new agent?
So, you know, as you mentioned before, I'm an insurance agent kid. My dad has been a very successful agent for over 36 years. So it is night and day when we talk about our agencies and how he started and how I'm starting. I mean, there's just no comparison, where I knew that social media was going to play a really big part in my marketing, you know, and getting my name out there. Whereas for him, it was a lot of billboards, direct mail campaigns, a lot of cold calling, which still exists and still works. I just didn't have the budget to do all that. So I thought social media is going to be the way I get out of obscurity. And that really was the intent of, even from the very, very beginning, which the very beginning wasn't that long ago. It was like January 1. That's how, prior to January 1, I had never posted anything. I had no social media presence whatsoever. I had no idea what hashtags were. I didn't have like a Facebook. I don't know my Facebook password, nothing. So you know, starting a new agency, you've got to figure out what's your budget, what are you comfortable with, what kind of marketing do you want to do, and then really kind of be a beast at that. Just be obsessed with the marketing you choose and just go after it. I mean, for me, I knew that social media, it was free, if not very, very inexpensive. So I just had to get over the fear of being on that camera because I'm an extremely shy person. Oh. So
really?
It was about getting over that fear and just hitting record.
I would have never guessed that you were a shy person. And it's funny that a lot of people that you say that, because that's really how I was too. And I got so many videos and I tell people, you know, honestly, I don't just go out into a room and just talk to people, and people think I'm this eccentric character, but I'm really not. So tell us about your background a little bit, and kind of like, we know that you've been in the business, in the industry for a long time, but what really led you into deciding to get on the sales side, and what did you envision your agency being like before you started? Because I know that when we get into licensing class and we start thinking about our agency, we have this vision of it, of what it's going to be like, and then the real world happens and things change. So what was that like, and how different was it once you launched, and what did you have to change?
You know, I've been doing this for almost 23 years. I'm secretly 90. I've just aged very well. I've been doing this for a long time. So after coaching a lot of agents, I saw the different models and the different management styles that were out there. And the one that worked well for me was having, you know, staff was going to be priority. And my agency is built on two fundamental principles, which is transparency and communication. So I always knew I wanted to be very free with the information I have. My staff knows how much income I make. They know how much money comes into the agency. They know all the expenses. So, you know, I was an employee for a lot longer than I've obviously been an employer. I was an employee, since I graduated from college. So the challenges I had as an employee were the things I really wanted to make sure I changed when I owned my own business. And so, yeah, I've done insurance for a really, really long time. I was an adjuster, a homeowner's adjuster. I was a national catastrophe adjuster, what we call storm chasers. And then I was a consultant to a lot of different agents across the country on how to run their agency. And the number one, I think, tip on, you know, how do you do this is you have to have good staff, like any business, right? You have to have good people surrounding you. I hire people who are 10 times smarter than I am, right? And you kind of listen and do what they tell you to do, and I'm very good at that. But I knew I wanted a staff I could trust that they were almost entrepreneurs within my agency. And that's very much how we run my agency even today. Never, ever, ever did I think social media would ever play a role in the agency I had envisioned, ever. And it has been a huge door opening to a lot of our partners, like realtors and lenders, people in the community, like school officials. I mean, like you, it's been amazing, really, that, and it has opened the doors for us to quote and write policies. I mean, because that's ultimately, we're in the business to make money, right? We're in the business to write policies and to be a very profitable agency. And that's how we've chosen to do it. And it's working. A call is for a quote. Let's make it work even more.
Yeah, so what would you say is the sort of the catalyst that you realized when as you're posting on social media, you said, you know, it wasn't necessarily like the focus of I'm going to build my agency around this thing called social media and let this be the driving force. So like what first happened for you to decide, all right, this is it. This is what we're going to do.
So I bought an agency in March. I bought an agency that was already in existence for like over 20 years. And I hadn't even, we haven't even finalized the deal yet. And it was, I think, December 31st or January 1, where I was like, all right, if this deal goes through and I own the agency, I got to start the groundwork now, getting myself out of obscurity. Because, again, no one had any idea who Melissa Bankard was. I mean, so I did one post, had no editing capabilities, had no idea. So it was like 90 takes to get that one. I was like, man, that's, I said my name wrong. All right, do it again. And it was just, and then I realized after that one post, immediately I like called my mom and I said, hey, did you watch it? What do you think? And she's like, I don't even have Facebook. I don't even, couldn't tell you. So I had like text her the video. I called my sister, also no social media. I'm like, okay, who do I know that can like give me some feedback? And I made the mistake, and I don't know if it was a mistake or it's just foresight. In my very first video, I said, you're going to see a lot more to me, a lot more of me to come. I'm going to introduce you to my agency, my staff, my family. I didn't even have an agency at the time. It wasn't even a done deal. It very much could have just like flopped altogether. But the fact that I said it, and then I was like, oh my gosh, now I might have to go through with this. And I was like, I guess I have to do another one. And then, you know, little by little, I saw the response. And that's the nice thing about social media. Unlike direct mail pieces and billboards where they're very passive marketing, with the social media, it's like boom, 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 boom. You see that reaction like live. So that one video is like, okay, I think I can do this. And then just, you know, a lot of stupid videos came after that.
Awesome. So, you know, a lot of people, like you said, you were nervous the first time, you take a lot of takes, you finally step out of that comfort zone. Yeah. And you do it. And, you know, I've got a client of mine, he's no longer with Farmers, but his name is Joe McClowski. And he joined my group and I got him to do a video. Something I always teach people is you got to do video. And he actually did a video, it's called the Sinky Fish Challenge. And it was him and his family, and they got these fish from, I think it was like Switzerland and they're supposedly the most smelly fish on planet Earth. They're kind of like sardines, and they're wearing their farmer shirt.
Yeah,
they're wearing their farmer shirt, his whole family, and they eat it, and they try not to throw up. Well, it blows up, and it ends up with 60 million views. As a result, Joe has 180,000 followers on his Facebook page. And for him, it happened quick. It was just, he did something unique. He did something that was funny. It went viral. But that's not typically what happens. It takes consistency. Right. So, you know, what would you say, number one, what is your biggest success with video? And then what would you say to somebody who's nervous and hasn't gotten response yet?
Right. So I had a conversation with a cousin of mine who I hadn't seen in like, I don't know, 15 years. And she happened to hear about me through, she's a farmer's agent also, through her circle of friends. And she kind of asked me the same question. I said, you got to start small. You really do. So my advice to her was try to get 10 followers a month. That's it. Start, you know, do one video a week. And it doesn't have to be insurance, but, you know, if you look at any of my videos, very little of the content is insurance. I mean, listen, insurance is not a sexy industry, okay? We're like right above maybe a tax auditor. We're just not the fun people at the party. So it is okay to not be the content deliverer, right? I mean, it's entertainment. I want, hopefully, my future clients to get to know me as a person. Because I think if they feel more comfortable with who I am, then we'll be able to sit down and have those conversations about, you know, their home and their life insurance, you know, their car insurance, things like that. And we can kind of figure out where the pain points are and help them that way. So, you know, do one video a week. It doesn't have to be long. Keep it short. But the three things that I try every one of my videos to contain is, you know, be authentic. You know, keep it upbeat. Because I mean, there's just no reason not to. And three, try to have your passion come through in any video, any post that you do, because I think that resonates with a lot of people. So again, I gotta have a set number, 10 followers a month. And then after a while, hey, can I get 20 followers a month? And but do it baby steps so that it's manageable. Otherwise, there's no way that, I think I just yesterday, I had, I wanna say 1,500 or 1,700 followers on my Facebook. And that was, when I first started, I had like three and they all shared my DNA. So, you know, baby steps.
Awesome. Yeah. So, you know, I love going to masterminds and like, different seminars to learn things. And one of my favorite things about going to one of those is when I've been doing something and the guy on the stage gives it like an official term of like says, do this, it's called this. I'm like, wow, I was doing that already. So I want to just piggyback on what you said about the three components of a video. And in our training, I actually have the three components of creating a video. It's called real, raw, and relevant. All right. So you want to be real, authentic, right? You don't need a bunch of production. You don't need, you know, lights and a studio and a green screen. In fact, you don't want that. You want it to be authentic. You want to be able to let that show through. And that's one of the things Melissa does fantastic is that you get to see who she is. And the next component is raw. And what you want to do is capture that raw emotion. So, you know, you don't want to do a video just for doing video's sake. You want to do something that you're passionate about, that you're excited about. It doesn't matter where you are. And that's what I love about Melissa. I want you guys to go follow her, check her out on LinkedIn and Facebook. We'll send you some links and whatnot so that you can see what she's doing. But when you're excited about something, you film it. Sometimes she gets excited about the little marketing thing she buys or about, you know, her Starbucks coffee or her dry cleaning or whatever it might be. But that's when you want to get the video. You don't want it produced. You want it when you're excited. Sometimes you might even be mad or sad, and that's okay too, to capture that, because it does, like she said, builds that relationship, and then you want it to be relevant. So you want to, you know, bring that full circle and explain why you're sharing that message or whatever the case might be and somehow tie it in so that you're not just rambling on. But
she
hit the nail on the head and is hitting that exactly the way that you should be doing it. So let me ask you, what is your favorite social media platform?
I do. The most successful platform I have right now is LinkedIn, which I started LinkedIn a few months after I had Facebook because I had to get my password on Facebook. I didn't know it. Someone said, oh, are you on LinkedIn? I was like, LinkedIn, is anybody on that? Okay. So I just put a couple videos and then I was like, oh, there is more. I get tons more views on LinkedIn than I do on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Like YouTube has like one view and that's my kid. He's like, hey mom, I saw you on YouTube. That's awesome. He's stuck. Anyway, but LinkedIn has been my most successful in terms of actual dollars. Like someone will see me. And I get a lot of referrals from farmers insurance agents out of state. Because when one of their policyholders moves to Texas, automatically they're like, oh, that Texas is farmers insurance agent. They have no idea that I'm in Dallas. They may have a client that's in Austin, Houston, El Paso, the Valley, but they know the Texas farmers insurance agent, and we get a lot of business that way. We've also done business from people who are in different industries. And like about a week ago, we had one gentleman who sent us like five homes to insure, just back to back. We're like, whoa. And
awesome.
All of us just like, hey, I like your videos. They were fun to watch. Okay.
That's awesome. In an industry that is so archaic, for lack of a better term, so archaic, I mean, there's not a lot that's happened in terms of innovation and technology in the insurance industry. And it's becoming more and more commoditized every year. I don't know when the last brick and mortar insurance agency was started. Every insurance agency is online, and anymore, they're not even online. They're just apps, right? And so it's becoming, you know, less and less personalized. but yet it is still a service-driven business, and consumers are still starving for authenticity. And I think that's why Melissa is so attractive on social media, and you know, she's just got this ability to draw people in, because consumers, that's what, there's so much shit for them to, you know, surf through and to find something real, and to be able to have that authentic presence is, I think, what's very attractive to consumers, and allows her to build those relationships. You know, she's got a video with 80,000 views on LinkedIn, and the great thing about that is that that's her message going out over and over and over again forever, without her picking up the phone, without her having to go to a networking meeting. She's met 80,000 people through one video that took maybe a minute and a half to do, and that's really the power of social media. And if you could step outside of your comfort zone and start to be that voice, I think LinkedIn is the unsung hero. In fact, we've got a program for LinkedIn agents. I'll share you guys if you're interested in that. It's called the LinkedIn Guide for Insurance Agents, and it'll help you get to the level that Melissa's at if you'll follow those steps. But you've got a really aggressive growth strategy for your agency. And talking with you, this is an area with farmers agents in particular. A lot of farmers agents are the one-man show, it's very hard for them to step out of that and get into their first position, hiring their first person. You've got this crossroads where you're so busy that you need it, but at the same time, once you shell out that salary, you don't have enough business to keep them going, and then you get in this plateau, and it's a very hard place for agents to get over and to expand. Tell us a little bit about your growth as an agency owner since March, and what your plan has been, and how you, what would you recommend for a new agent who wants to grow their team but just isn't sure the right way to go about it?
Right. So you have to operate like there is no option for failure. It was, when I opened this, it wasn't like, oh, if this doesn't work out, I'll do something else. No, we're going all in. I am not afraid to go broke doing this. I mean, you just can't be afraid to invest everything you have and invest in money that you don't have. That was the key. And that's a tough conversation to have with either a spouse or a partner, or, you know, your core network who are helping you, support you mentally. You know, when I talked to my dad, it's a completely different model. And I'm like, I probably can't afford all the stuff I have. It's okay. We're gonna spend it anyway. We're gonna go for broke. We're gonna go for the big win here. I mean, I joke with my staff, but listen, this is the NFL, baby. We play at a high level. We play to win and we play for rings. Shirts and skins, that's the agency down the street. We're here to play and we play hard. So, you know, with that mentality, that means I, as their leader, have to invest my time, my energy, my money, to back up that message. So for those agents who, hey, I'm barely making it, I get it. I mean, trust me, I've seen a ton of agents, but if you want to continue having that vision of I'd point me in one other person, you're not really running your business, right? I mean, you're a one-man shop. That's not a bad deal, but what happens if you get sick? You know, I've got a staff right now that is relatively a large staff, and while we're having this podcast, they're out, they're quoting, they're writing. And each one of them has a different marketing preference that I'm not great at. One of them loves community events. One loves a call center type of environment. One loves going business to business. So I think the key is, if it requires getting into debt a little bit, then you got to do it. But it has to be something that you're comfortable with. I'm just like, listen, there's no parachute. We're not working with a safety net. This is it. This has to work, and we're gonna invest all the resources we can to make that happen.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. I think, you know, that's how I've operated. When I first talked to you, hearing that story, I think, you know, I was like, yeah, that's what I put myself in when I left the insurance world. You know, as the number two producer in the state of Texas. You know, I was doing really well. I think my third year, I was at $258,000, great benefits. but I wanted to do something else. And people thought I was crazy for leaving a well-oiled machine that was, I had no worries. I had business every day. My relationships were there. And so I went for this, which was going to either, I was either going to go broke or I was going to be wildly successful. And fortunately, it worked out, but I didn't leave a safety net. People ask me all the time, why don't you have your license? If you were such a good insurance agent, why aren't you still selling insurance? And the truth is that number one, it wasn't something I was passionate about. I burned myself out. I wasn't passionate about it anymore. Right. But I did have a set of skills that I could pass on to other people. And I knew that if I kept that license, that would be my backup plan. In the back of my mind, I would say, well, I can always go back and get and do insurance. And so I wanted to burn those shifts. So I had no option but success or utter failure. So I love that. And I think, you know, I think people are scared. You know, they try to play the safe route and do what's comfortable. And I'm sure that you've had some uncomfortable times in your agency. So
wait 1 second. My battery's hold on. Technical difficulties. There we go. Okay.
So I really like that. I think, you know, most entrepreneurs are going to, I think, be most successful when their back's against the wall and you really don't have an option. And, you know, to put yourself in a position where you either invest heavy, take a loan that is like you have to produce to pay it off, like whatever it is that you have to do to put pressure on yourself, because you have a responsibility to be successful. You know, I work with Grant Cardone, and that's one of the things that he says, success is your duty. You have to be obsessed, and you have an obligation to yourself, to your family, to your kids, to your spouse, to be successful. And you have to get out of that comfort zone. I love that. So let me just ask you before we close out, what, you know, if knowing what you know today about starting an agency and, you know, the direction that you've gone so far, knowing what you know today, what would you have told yourself in January before you started?
Every success is not overnight, right? You always hear people who have these successful stories. Some success sometimes takes 10 to 20 years. I mean, not always, but as an entrepreneur, we naturally are driven. We're just like, we're constantly in a beast mode all the time, right? Because if we're not pushing ourselves, very rarely someone else can do it for us. But I realized very early on, I wanted to be where my dad was, like in the first 2-3 months. And comparing myself to someone at 36 years versus someone at, you know, 6 months mark. And it was just so, I was always discouraged. I'm like, oh, how come I can't write that? How come I can't be at that level? How come I don't have that many staff? And it was just like, I was sabotaging my own self. And I'm like, I need to not compare myself to someone who's done something else. And once I realized, I gave myself permission to say, listen, you're going to go at your pace. You're going to do it the way it makes sense and feels good to you. And then just stick with it. Believe in the program that you started off with. I have a very distinct vision of what my agency wants, what I want it to be, how I want it to run. I have a very unique compensation plan. But I believe it 100%. And sometimes staff will work out. Sometimes the marketing doesn't come through the way you want to. But I'm going to stay steadfast in the vision I had from day one. So, you know, for us entrepreneurs, give yourself a break. It may not happen as quickly as you want, but if you keep being consistent with your vision, it will happen. It's just, you know, it may take a little longer than you expected, and that's okay.
All right, two more questions, and then we'll let you go. The first one is, in talking about goal setting, you know, I've worked with, you know, every major carrier and agents that are independent and captive alike. And Farmers has one of the least aggressive goals for their agents. They want agents to, they don't want to get rid of agents. And so the goals are not, they're not very, very steep. And so you have to, obviously, I'm sure your goals far exceed what Farmers expects of you. How do you go about goal setting and how do you help your team set goals that are in alignment with what you're wanting, because you're obviously very aggressive and sometimes team members may not be as aggressive. So what do you do to set your goals, and then how do you marry that with your teams?
Sure. So the company always has goals, and obviously you want to align your agency goals with that. That only makes sense, and we support the vision that Farmers has, and we're very blessed that they truly believe in the agent model. So my staff, each one of them, has a very specific goal. It's the same for everyone. All my agency producers or salespeople or whatever you want to call them. It's a dollar amount. And we go over that when they get hired. We go over it every Wednesday in an open forum. So we have our war room happens every Wednesday at 2:00. So whatever your sales are, you make a copy for everyone on the team. So you make 7 copies and we go like a round robin. All right, tell me where you're at. How much have you sold? You know, what do you have in the pipeline? What are you working on? Next person. So in a public setting, it's like you can't hide behind. And I said, this meeting is not for I'm going to write. This is coming, you know, gonna is not. This is what have you sold today up to this point. So if you keep it like, hey, everyone has 30 seconds to speak, let's go. Then in that environment, it's like a pressure cooker, right? No one ever wants to be the person who doesn't have anything to show. So I hire people who have that kind of aggressive, prideful personality, and they want, when it comes their turn to go in the round robin, they want to tell you what they have. They want to tell you what they've been working on because they're proud of it. So we go over goals and achievements of where you are every Wednesday.
Awesome.
It's always in our faces all the time.
Awesome. So last thing, tell us, you know, the cornerstone of your agency. One of the things that I teach folks and that I notice is missing in a lot of insurance agents' business is a mission statement and something and that, like, that brand that their agency stands for. If I ask an insurance agent, what is your agency all about? What do you stand for? What is your agency? How do you articulate that? What is your brand? And a lot of people don't have an answer for that. They lean on, you know, the State Farm or the Allstate or whatever that is.
Right.
But it's important to have your own mission and your own agency culture. And what is that for you? And what really separates you from the other Farmers agents? If a consumer is coming to you, what is it that you guys are doing different? And what is the culture of your agency as it relates to consumers?
So for our agency, it's very clear. I built my agency on the platform of two pieces, communication and transparency. That's it. Communication, transparency. And that goes from the top all the way, everything to, you know, that one person who has liability auto only with us. You know, my staff has all the information that I as an agent have. They know they have access to how much the agency makes, how much the, as we talked about, the expenses. They know the reason why we're making changes, the direction we're going, why we're hiring. You know, if someone is no longer going to be with the agency, they understand why. Because I believe that's going to translate into the team member and the client. I want the clients to know that we're not trying to hide anything. We're very transparent with, these are the rates. This is why you have this. It's, you know, we will explain to you the why. We're going to communicate, and we're going to communicate in a way that makes sense for you. There's a lot of people right now who don't want to talk to us on the phone. They're like, please don't send me any mail. Please don't call me. But they're okay with us contacting them through Twitter, you know, through messages, through LinkedIn. So we're going to go in and accommodate for the method in which people want to communicate with us now. And it's just not the same as it was for, you know, my dad 36 years ago. We are 24/7. I mean, I have people who will text me or on Facebook message at 2 a.m. You know, I may not answer right then and there, but that's their preferred method, and we'll do the best we can with that. So those things, transparency from your staff to your clients and communication, I think is a paramount, and we'll continue to operate on that basis. Because I think that's ultimately where we're going to have our success. And that's what makes us different.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for, you know, sharing your story with us. I know that a lot of agents are going to love listening to this. I hope you guys have a notepad. Check, you know, listen to it again, take notes. She's absolutely killing it. And I'm really, really thankful that you came and shared some of your knowledge with us and gave us some of your time. So thank you. Thank you so much for being here. And guys, if you are interested in the LinkedIn, just go to sellingwithshawn.com/LinkedIn and you will see the program and you can be a LinkedIn all-star just like Melissa. Again, thank you so much. And I look forward to talking with you again.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it.